Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Chicago Bulls, all I can say is it was a thing. We never saw it coming. And after their what I thought was their best half of basketball all year, they collapsed. And the last night's game told a lot of stories, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. And it was hard to focus, especially in that fourth quarter. Obviously, I do want to say hope DeMar Hamlin is doing okay. We haven't gotten many updates yet, but it was very hard to focus on the game with that going on.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because the experience of watching that, and then we happened to flip over at just the time when we realized something awful potentially was going on. It did make for a disjointed sports consumption night.
It did. However, we still need to do our jobs. But Donovan Mitchell just ate them alive in that second half. Stacey mentioned before the start of the second half, he said he had a quiet 16 in the first. And he said if they hold him to that and they play that defense again, they'll be just fine. They allowed a season low 47 points in the first half.
And then high 83 in the second.
That's too many.
Thank you. That's solid analysis.
83.
We should definitely recap. We've been away for a while. We are back from our Christmas and New Year's trip to Mexico, and he survived. And we mentioned last time that in episode 6, a little concerned about this guy turning 18 and legal drinking age in Mexico, but he actually was kind enough to leave some tequila for the rest of us and not drink all of it. But what was it, a spicy margarita that you were drinking?
Yeah, I couldn't stop drinking those. They're really good. They taste great, and they're very, I feel like I could get very drunk off of those if I had one too many, but I had my fair share.
I thought you were very well behaved. I was very impressed. And
I thought you were very well behaved.
I was a bit concerned, and you alleviated my concerns. But since we have been gone, the Bulls lost to Houston. Bad loss.
That was awful. I didn't really see it, but I just knew it happened.
Terrible loss for all the usual terrible loss Bulls reasons. Didn't take the opponent seriously, got down early, had to fight too hard to come back. And the young, hungry team with lots of length and athleticism and Alperen Sengun was too much for them.
He's good.
He is good.
And we've seen that story before. And I think you look at the OKC game where they lost. I believe that was also an overtime loss. It seemed they struggle with young athleticism, and they did beat Detroit, which was,
well, they beat Milwaukee.
That's not young athleticism, though.
Exactly. Milwaukee is a good matchup for them because they don't have those little long springy guys
except for one guy. But that's what I'm trying to say, is that those are the teams that the Bulls struggle against. I think that when they play a team like Orlando, I think they're going to get boat raced. I seriously think they could lose by 10-plus points against Orlando, and Banchero will have a 30-plus point game. I'm scared of teams like that.
And the last time they played Orlando and lost to them, Banchero wasn't even playing.
Right.
They lost to Cleveland, and then they lost to Cleveland, and that's the one we got to come home to, and the first one that we see is that game last night where Donovan Mitchell ends up with an NBA season high and franchise record 71 points. Can you name the other six players to score 70 in a game?
Kobe.
Wilt.
Devin Booker. Elgin Baylor?
Yes, that's the hard one.
That's the hard one?
For me, it is.
Are the other two? Then Jordan didn't score 70. Yeah.
69. I think Gronk sent him a congratulatory.
Oh, did telegram. You see his quote today?
No.
I don't know if Gronk said that if he were to unretire, he would wear number 69.
He did?
Just so that and he would still be a tight end, but every single time he came to the game, the ref would have to say number 69 is eligible to be a receiver. So basically, he just wanted to hear the ref keep saying 69, and someone commented as if there was a penalty flag on Rob Gronkowski. It said illegal touching number 69. Okay, sorry. A little bit backtracked.
The other two.
Oh, who's the only NBA player to try to wear number 69 and was denied by the league.
Had to be Rodman.
Yep. In Dallas.
Yeah, it was. Had to be. The other two, real quick. 1978 and...
Not Kareem.
No, it was David Thompson.
That's the hard one.
Not for me, it's not. I'm old.
Well, he's good. He's great, but...
He scored 70 points in a game.
I don't think of him as on that tier.
And the last is David Robinson, who did it on the last day of the season to win the scoring title over Shaq, I believe, because he needed to outscore Shaq by like 33 points, and they got him 73 total to win the scoring title over Shaq.
That's pretty good.
But I will tell you that what Donovan Mitchell did and the realization... Watching him understand what he could do against the Bulls, because once he got Caruso and he realized, oh, your absolute best defender can't stop me. And you don't have a big that I can't go past. You don't have a guard that isn't going to fall for my first step that I can't get side to side on. Once he knew it, there was nothing they could do about it. And what hit home for me was how it underscored how, regardless of everything else that's going on, they can be sharing the ball, popping it around, making shots, making good decisions, getting deflections, scoring off turnovers, and they're still so close to disaster.
Everything about it, and I think the biggest part of that is when you shoot a high volume of twos. You can score at a high rate, but when other teams, it was happening last night, they would go up five, DeMar would hit a two, and then it'd be cut to a four-point game because Chetty Osmond hit one from 35 feet. It just seems like...
Neto is knocking one down. Love hits another one. Yeah.
It seems like every single time they get a two in crunch time, the other team hits a three, and it's very frustrating. You look at teams like that, and maybe historically they win. Not now. Well, there's no way they win now. And they can't keep up with... high three-point shot volume team, high volume three-point shot teams.
Even normal volume.
That's true, because they're not normal volume.
I think Bulls made 10 threes, the Cavs made 16, which normally wouldn't be...
That's 18 points.
It normally wouldn't be that big a spread. But the way they've got to balance the math, and I think we've talked about it here on the OWC pod before, but the way they have to balance the math is twofold. They have to take more free throws and make more free throws. And they just have to have more shot opportunities. They got to have more possessions. And I have no idea what has gone on in the last 2 weeks with allowing offensive rebounds. Jared Allen had 6 offensive rebounds. And that is that they cannot sustain if they're allowing teams multiple chances, because it's hard enough to get a stop. And you applaud them for getting a stop. And unless you grab the defensive rebound after the stop, there's no point. All you did was make yourself tired and give that team another chance. And the Knicks showed it too. When the Knicks had those...
Mitchell Robinson, those, man.
Well, when he and Sims were out there, this is something that Joe Cowley mentioned when we were talking to him earlier, that teams that have two actual bigs just rip the Bulls a new one.
Yeah.
Because they can't stay with both of them.
Are you saying when they play at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. I saw the other, I think it was last night when Drummond and Vooch were in at the same time. And what are they ever going to try that if they can't solve their offensive rebound problem? And you said that they, within the past few weeks, have been 28th in offensive or second
chance points allowed.
And before then they were second in the league, and it's a 5-point difference or something.
Correct. Like I want to say it's like the first 27 games they were second in the league in allowing the fewest second chance points. And in the last 10 games, they're near the bottom of the league. And some of that is teams just realizing matchups, lineups. maybe it's not having Javonte for a lot of those games. Is that part of it?
I'm biased, so you can't really ask me that question.
No, but you can look at it objectively.
He makes a difference. He always has those hustle rebounds, and even when he has some surprise offensive rebounds where he just comes out of nowhere and he tips it back and they have another possession. I feel like that's where he helps more when it comes to rebounding. However, I think his presence matters a lot defensively. And you see Patrick Williams, that play was his fault at the end of the game. He didn't box out the shooter. Yes, it was a lane violation. The NBA comes out and says that again. But when you look at, I'm not one of the people that's going to say, oh, they should have won because of X, because there was the wrong call by the referee. It even happened in the first game against the Cavs.
It's like the last three games, yeah.
But why are you in that position? That Cavs team is injured. They didn't have Darius Garland, who's an all-star point guard. They didn't have Evan Mobley, who's a borderline all-star big. And you're pretty much healthy except for Javonte. And you lose to those teams.
And Lonzo.
But he's been out the whole year. You can't really say that.
I know. I got to put a dollar in the jar. I violated my rule.
Lonzo's almost a non-factor at this point, which sucks. Everybody wants him back. But that you don't want to be in positions against teams that are injured, and that they've been in positions, they've allowed themselves to be in those positions, especially when you have your best first half of the year and then defensively your worst second half. You can't take your foot off the gas. You just can't. You can't until it gets to garbage time and you throw Carlik Jones in there for a second. Like that's when you can say, okay, we're fine. You're in the NBA, and when you're facing a star like Donovan Mitchell, I feel like the game is never going to be over until it's over. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.